and welcome to At the Drive-In. I'm Tamara, and this is a podcast where I talk about movies from the 30s to the 60s. I look at things such as the plot, themes, the characters, funny anecdotes, and pretty much anything worth mentioning. Today I'm going to be looking at a 1930s film called Mr. Deeds Goes to Town. It was released in 1936, and it was directed by the very talented, well-known, and prolific Frank Capra. And it stars Gary Cooper and Jean Arthur. Its sequel is called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and it's actually better known than Mr. Deeds Goes to Town. It actually stars James Stewart instead of Gary Cooper. So there's a slight difference there, but anyhow, they're both very well known. So now for the summary of the movie. So this incredibly wealthy guy dies, and everyone basically goes nuts trying to figure out who is the heir of the fortune, because it's going to be a lot of dough for whoever inherits this money. So it turns out the heir of this large amount of money is Mr. Deeds, who's this pretty eccentric guy who lives in a fictional town in Vermont called Mandrake Falls. And he plays the tuba when he has to think. He writes poems for cards, and he's pretty much, yeah, a pretty weird guy. But anyhow, we're going to look into that later. And he inherits $20 million, which nowadays is the equivalent to approximately $368 million, right? And he inherits this money from his estranged late uncle. So he's not even the first person to find out that he inherited all this money. The first person to find out is the uncle's attorney called John Cedar, who finds this out, and immediately he goes to visit Deeds to let him know about the money and to convince him to go to New York City so that he can keep an eye on him, because Cedar is in charge of the financial book that records all the ways that the money from the estate of the uncle is used, and he's been borrowing money from that. Well, actually, I should say stealing, because borrowing is a bit too generous of a term, honestly. So he's been stealing from the estate, and he doesn't want Deeds to find this out. So he basically is telling him that he wants to take control of all his financial things and everything. Anyhow, it's important to mention that when Mr. Deeds is told that he's just inherited $20 million, he literally doesn't even blink an eye, right? Anyhow, we're going to be looking into Deeds' character later on, because he's definitely a very interesting person, and he should be talked about a lot, honestly. So Mr. Deeds ends up agreeing to go into New York, although it does take him a while to be convinced. But in the end, he's convinced to go, not by the fact that he has to go there to, you know, take care of the estate and everything and to kind of control the $20 million he's inherited, but because he's never been out of Mandrake Falls and he's really curious to see New York, you know? Who wouldn't be, right? Anyhow, from the moment he inherits all the dough, he becomes very, very famous. Everybody knows him. And so as he's about to leave Mandrake Falls, they throw a big party for him. So there's like an orchestra playing, there's crowds cheering, and there's a hilarious scene where the people who are going to accompany Deeds to New York have lost him. They can't find him, and they're really worried because the train's about to leave. And so they're trying to look for him, having no idea where he is, and suddenly a guy spots him like, okay, this guy's like right there. And Deeds is literally in the middle of the orchestra that's playing for him. And he's playing the tuba for the orchestra because there's no other tuba player. So he's just like right in the middle of it, having a great time, by the way, just playing his tuba in his own farewell party. I mean, you know, it's a really good scene, honestly. It's hilarious. Anyhow, so he gets on the train, and the moment Deeds gets to New York, he is swarmed by people who basically just want his money. So in the meantime, Deeds' distant cousin, who is filthy rich and super greedy, is absolutely in disbelief and super pissed off that all his uncle's money went to an unknown cousin, because he considers himself closer to the uncle and he thought that he was going to inherit all the money. But it turns out that no, actually, this guy that he barely knows and his uncle apparently barely knew got all the money. So basically, he and his wife start scheming and try to find a way to get the money back from Mr. Deeds. And as I said before, the reason Cedar is helping Deeds out is actually for his own sake. So he's trying to convince Deeds to make him into his power of attorney to hide the money that he has stolen from his uncle. So he basically wants to prevent Deeds from seeing the account book, which registers all the money transaction, which would obviously show that he's taken money that was not his. But anyhow, Deeds, because honestly, everybody underestimates Deeds, and this guy is super smart. So he's really smart, and he does not trust Cedar at all. So he just tells him to collect all the books and to be ready to show him, because he wants to see himself all the account books. Because, yes, Deeds is not stupid. Which everybody kind of expects for some reason. Anyhow, as I said before, Deeds is super famous. Everybody knows him. Everybody wants an interview with him, especially, obviously, the papers. So everyone's after him, trying to get an interview with him. And Cedar is making double sure that no reporter is getting close to him because he does not want anybody to interview Deeds. And he basically doesn't want anyone to get a real story out of him, right? In the end, however, there is a particularly cunning newspaper woman that manages to get close to Deeds by basically pretending to faint one day in front of his house. And Deeds obviously comes out to rescue her. And Deeds is immediately intrigued by this woman, she's called Babe, and she's a news reporter, but she's acting as if she was a woman called Mary Dawson who has been walking all day to try to find a job, and she was so exhausted that she fainted. Anyhow, Deeds is immediately intrigued by this woman because he's always had this romantic notion of wanting to save a damsel in distress. So obviously in that moment, Babe represented this damsel in distress, and he obviously becomes this knight in shining armor. So anyways, he saves his damsel in distress, and slowly Babe and Deeds start getting closer, right? But Babe doesn't really give a shit about him, to be honest. She just wants a good story. And she's been promised a week's vacation with pay by her boss if she gets a really nice, juicy story from this eccentric heir of that fortune, right? So they start getting close, and she starts writing mocking articles about him. She starts making fun of him, and she comes up with this name for him, which is the Cinderella Man. And of course, nobody knows where these stories are coming from. They don't know who's writing these articles. They don't know who's getting such an in-depth insight into Deed's life, right? So because no one suspects her, she can just continue hanging out with him and getting every story from him and seeing how he acts. So they meet a lot of times, and slowly but surely, Babe starts questioning what she's doing. Because she realizes that Deeds is such a nice guy. He's so gentle and kind, and he really represents something that is completely foreign in that city, in New York City, right? So, which is kindness, really. It's just sometimes things such as kindness and selflessness get lost in the city, right? So she starts feeling bad about what she's doing to Deeds. And she especially starts feeling bad because Deeds is always talking about how everyone he's met in the city so far has been phony and they've only wanted something from him. But Babe is different. She doesn't want anything. She doesn't expect anything. She's nice. She's gentle, right? She doesn't care about him just because of his money. And she's obviously like, well, shit. Jeez. Oh, God. What am I doing to this guy? Oh, God. Anyhow, yeah, it's pretty tough, honestly, especially as he's so innocent and just a nice guy. And you start, even if you're the most scummy person in the world, you're going to start feeling a little bad, honestly. Well, that's what you'd think, but actually not really. But anyhow, she does start feeling bad. And it gets even worse because Deeds ends up proposing to her by giving her a poem. And this is a really quite a sweet scene in the movie, because by this point, Babe is feeling super bad about what she's doing. She's feeling super guilty. She doesn't want to be deceiving Deeds anymore. And she basically wants to run away and just get lost for a while. But before she can go, Deeds turns up at her house and he gives her this poem. And in this poem, he basically proposes to her. But before she can give an answer, he's quickly, like rambling in a really flustered way. He's saying, "You don't have to answer me now. I'll come back tomorrow. Don't worry." And then he runs away as fast as possible. And it's quite cute, honestly, because he goes, runs away, and he trips over this like trash can and he bumps into somebody. He's sort of kind of embarrassed, but like in a shy way, and he's running away and he doesn't let her give an answer. Anyhow, the day after the proposal, Babe announces that she is quitting the newspaper. She has fallen in love with Deeds and she has decided not to run away. She's determined to tell him the truth. Even though she knows that she might lose him by telling him the truth, she feels that if the only way that she could ever potentially be with Deeds is to tell him the truth and to be honest with him and just tell him the situation. And she feels that she owes him this after deceiving him so much. But she owes him the truth now after all this. And she just hopes that, she just has a sliver of hope that will be enough to keep him. Because she finally realized how worthy and lovely this guy is. So although she knows that by telling the truth, she's diminishing her chances of being with him, she wants to take the chance anyways because she doesn't want to lie anymore to him. And so she's going to tell him. She really, really is going to call him. And no, actually, she's going to visit him. But however, before she can tell him the truth, it is revealed to Deeds that she is, in fact, not who she said she was. He's told that she's, in fact, not Mary Dawson, but Babe. And she was the one that'd been writing those articles about him. So Deed doesn't really believe it at first. So he calls her up and he asks straightforwardly, like, "Listen, are you not Mary Dawson? Like, were you the one who wrote those articles about me?" And she admits it. She says that, "Yes, it was me. And I was going to tell you, I promise. And I did. I'm sorry." And before she can explain, he hangs up. And like, whoa, this scene is so, so sad. Because like, he doesn't react in a really hysterical way. He doesn't like fall to his knees and start sobbing or screaming. He has this facial expression of just complete defeat and sadness. And then he just goes to stare out the window and it's so freaking depressing, man. At that point, he finally decides that he's going to leave New York City and return to Mandrake Falls. He's so hurt. And that was just the last straw. After that, it was just, it's too painful to be there anymore. And so he's about to leave when he's confronted by a man who enters his house. And this is a man who is, this is a farmer who is no longer employed and he's desperate. And he criticizes Deeds for wasting his money. And he specifically refers to a episode that happened where Deeds got super, 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 super drunk and he started feeding donuts to a horse. And he's saying how frivolous he is and how he could possibly think of feeding donuts to a horse when he could be feeding those donuts to humans. And he's really desperate. He's really agitated. And he pulls out a gun. And he's planning to shoot Deeds. But then he suddenly comes to his senses and he drops the gun. And he apologizes and says that he's sorry, but he's just so desperate and so sad. And he can't stand seeing his wife and children without any food. And he can't stand having lost his farm after 20 years. Also, it's important to mention that this is all taking place after the Great Depression. So this theme and this idea of money and unemployment is really, really big at the moment. So a lot of people could identify with this sentiment. Anyhow, Deeds decides to feed this man. Of course, he forgives him. And while he's looking at this farmer happily gobbling down food, he has an epiphany. He decides to stay in New York City and actually do something good with his fortune. So he decides that he wants to share it with unemployed farmers by creating a huge farming district. So his idea is that if each of them can plow the land successfully for 3 years, then they can keep the share of the land. So this motivates Deeds, although he's still really beaten down. He personally interviews every farmer that goes to visit him. And yes, he is exhausted and still dejected, but he's determined to do good. And pretty much at this point, he just wants to get rid of the money because it's just brought him so much pain and disappointment and betrayal that he just wants to get rid of it, but not waste it. He wants to do something good with it. So This is taking place, and all the while, Cedar has still been trying to find a way to cheat Deeds from his fortune. So in the end, he does manage to get Deeds arrested by claiming that Deeds is insane and that he was way too insane to handle the money and to run the estate of his late uncle. So Deeds is arrested and he's forced to go through a insanity trial. At this point, Deeds has pretty much just given up completely. He doesn't ask for anybody to defend him, and during the trial, he just sits there and stares blankly at the wall while all these people come up and give evidence against him. Okay, just to give you an idea of the reasons that people are claiming Deeds is insane. Okay, listen to this. So, Deeds is apparently insane because, one, he plays the tuba randomly because it helps him think. Two, he fed donuts to a horse. Three, he rode a fire engine. Four, he ejected guests from a party that he was forced to hold and that he didn't want to have. And five, he was willing to hand all his money, all his fortune to a bunch of farmers. So just to restate, these are the reasons that are given in a courtroom for why Deeds is insane and why he should be considered insane, okay? Just saying. Those are the things that are being said against Deeds, okay? And there's also a particular piece of evidence that is considered to be very important, where these two old women from Mandrake Falls are called in to give this statement, and they say that Deeds is pixelated, which is another way to say he's nuts. Pixelated refers that he's been taken by the pixies. Anyhow, throughout all these claims, Deeds doesn't do anything. He just sits and stares and he just looks blank. And Babe is there. Babe is witnessing all of this, and she stands up for Deeds. She's telling the court that he's obviously not insane, that he's just been hurt so much and he doesn't have it in him to defend himself. And she's condemning the court for having a hearing where the accused has not chosen to defend himself. They're just letting him be condemned without him being able to give a defense for himself or have somebody defend him. Eventually, though, Deeds is encouraged to defend himself by the supportive people such as Babe and Cobbs, which was a guy that was working for Cedar, but who eventually really liked Deeds, so he turned on his side. And also, basically, the court is packed with farmers, and all the farmers are there supporting him, and they're telling him to please stand up for himself. What is he doing? Okay, Deeds proceeds to decimate every single argument held against him. I mean, you just have to see this. I would say it's epic. It's pretty epic. So basically, his main argument, and also I have to say that Deeds doesn't have anybody defending him. No. Deeds is defending himself, okay? He's his own defense, okay? So his main argument is that everyone can be considered as crazy, as stupid, as erratic as him. He's effectively saying that's just what it means to be human. You know, he's just human like everyone else. And, you know, newsflash, humans are freaking weird. They do weird things. And he does weird things. And that guy in the corner does weird things. And you do weird things. And everybody. So to prove his point, he starts pointing out the weird quirks of specific people in the courtroom. He even includes the judge. He says to the judge, you know, dude, it's pretty weird that you're an O filler. By this, he means that the judge will fill in the O's in his documents. He's like, you know, that's pretty damn weird, man, if you think about it. I mean, this guy, yeah, he's filling in his O's, man. Like, what the hell is that about, right? And then he points out the psychologist who was talking about how crazy Deeds was and how he has to be locked up. And Deeds looked at the psychologist and he's like, you know, man, you have some weird ass doodles, dude. Like, what are you doing, man? Can you just show them to the whole court so they can see how weird that is? And then the judge asks the psychologist to in fact show the doodles. And basically, Deeds is just like bam, 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 shooting everybody down and shooting everyone's arguments down. And then, of course, his defense for feeding the donuts to a horse was that he was just plain wasted. He was gone, right? He was drunk out of his skull. And he said, listen, everybody's done it once. It was my absolute first time being absolutely shit-faced. It's probably going to be my last time because I did not have a fun time the next day. And you know what? It's just a very human thing to do. I mean, I fed donuts to a host. You probably did something equally as weird, okay? Or equally as troubling. I mean, it's a pretty innocent thing to do to feed donuts to a host. It could be much, much worse. Lastly, he turns to the two old women that have been called from Mandrick Falls to testify against him. And he says to them, okay, I may very well be pixelated, you know? I might be pixelated. I'm not saying I'm not. But would you please mind telling everybody in the court who else you think is pixelated in Mandrake Falls? And the old women are just like, oh, well, everybody else is pixelated except for us. So yeah, that argument goes pretty much down the gutter after that. And okay, so basically Deeds has stood up for himself. He's basically just, he's done a terrific job. He's totally won everybody over. I mean, it's clear. He completely annihilated everybody's argument. Like, no problem. With a blink of an eye, this guy just absolutely nailed it. So in the end, the verdict is by the judge is not only that Deeds is sane, but that he was probably the sanest man in that whole courtroom. So after this, of course, the farmers celebrate and they carry him out. And there's this like, big celebration and they're shouting and everyone's ecstatic. And Babe can't really get to him. And she stays in the courtroom while eventually everyone goes out of it. And she stays there crying because she thinks she's basically lost Deeds forever. But suddenly, there's a scene where Deeds rushes back and he's looking frantic. I mean, he obviously wants to escape the crowd and he just wants to go to somewhere peaceful and calm. And he picks up Babe and he's looking around frantically to find the exit. And she's just peppering his face with kisses. And, you know, it's very romantic. And then they kiss and everything. And that's the end, right? That's the story. First and foremost, this is a movie about humanity. This movie is about us. It's about humans. It is about humanity at its absolute worst. It's most greedy. It's most scheming, cunning, selfish, hurtful. You have Deeds' cousin, for example, who's already filthy rich, but he still wants to get his uncle's fortune. He doesn't care that Deeds is using the money for a good cause and that he's already filthy rich. He still wants the money for himself and for his wife, of course. And then you have Cedar, who is willing to have a completely sane man sent to an institution just to get his hands on the money. He doesn't care about Deeds whatsoever. He just cares about the money and about being found out. Then you'll have people who just want to hurt Deeds just to get a little kick out of it, right? Just to have a little laugh. So, for example, there's a scene in the movie where Deeds takes Babe out to eat after... Well, this is when she's pretending to be Mary Dawson, and she says that she's been spending the whole day trying to find a work, and she faints, and basically he takes her out because he obviously thinks that she hasn't eaten in the whole day. And in the same place where they're eating, there's a group of poets that... Well, that Deeds really admires and he really likes them. And they catch wind that Deeds is there and they think that it would be super fun to invite him over and to make fun of him. And because they know that he's sometimes writes poems for cards and they think that's hilarious. So they invite him over and basically he's really like Deeds is super excited about it because he really admires them. And so he's really excited to go over to the table and he invites Babe, obviously. And they're there talking, but slowly he realizes that the poets have just invited him over to make fun of him. And he tells them, like, he tells them that he realizes this. And so you have these people who just, yeah, they get a kick out of making fun of somebody who has never done anything to them and who's literally admired them. Like, it's not even just like a neutral stance. This Deeds has actually admired them and he's actually told them, like, I really like your work and everything. And they, instead of like saying thank you or feeling gratitude, they literally just make fun of him and make him feel like shit. Like, these are the kind of people that are really prominent in this movie and it's kind of hard to ignore. Okay, so you have that side of the movie, which is undoubtedly humanity at its worst. And then you have humanity at its best. And this is pretty much encapsulated by the character of Deeds. Now, I've got to say, Deeds is one of the loveliest, sweetest, kindest characters that I've ever come across in a movie or a book or anything like that. I mean, he is generous, he's considerate, he's fun, he's loving, he's super smart as well. Just that's a side note, but anyhow, I mean, just a few examples. At one point, his dresser, because I mean, when he goes to New York City, he's in this giant mansion and he's been assigned all these people to look after him, and he has a dresser as well. And at one point, his dresser is helping him put his pants on, because apparently that's something that happens. And so the dresser's on his knees trying to help Mr. Deeds get his pants on. And Mr. Deeds just looks at him and he's like, get up immediately and don't you ever get on your knees for anybody ever again, right? So, like, I mean, that was pretty freaking good, honestly. And then just like a more like gentle side of his character is that whenever he meets somebody new and he learns their name, he tries to find a rhyme for the person's name and then he makes it into a poem. I mean, I just think that's so, so sweet. And then my favorite scene with Mr. Deeds is that at one point he's chasing his dresser called Walter. I don't know why this happens, but anyhow, so he's chasing him and he's yelling at Walter, and all of a sudden he stops and then he shouts again, and he realizes that in this giant mansion that he's staying in, there's an echo. So he yells again, and then he's kind of in awe that there's an echo. So then he asks Walter to yell something, and Walter yells something, and then there's an echo. And then some more people that are living in his house start coming out wondering what the hell is going on and why there's so much noise. And then every time they come out, Deeds is like, you yell something. And then they yell something. And then there's more echo. And then at one point he asks them all to yell something. And they're all yelling something. And there's an echo. And then, I mean, it's so funny. And it's such like a lighthearted way of enjoying life. And just also just being carefree. And I mean, Deeds is just such a lovely and selfless character. And he obviously is an exception in the movie. Though there are characters that do redeem themselves. But when I say the best of humanity in this movie, I do mean Deeds. But it's important to say that I don't think Deeds is perfect. I mean, Deeds is not perfect. That's just a fact. For example, something that's not exactly good about Deeds is that he resorts to violence a lot. Like, he'll straight up just punch someone in the face. So for example, when he goes to eat dinner with the poets and he finds out that they're making fun of him, he ends up like punching them in the face, some of them in the face. And then he punches Cedar in the courtroom, which I don't even know how he got away with that, to be honest, because I'm pretty sure that's like a big no-no in a courtroom. But anyhow, yes, it's true that these people totally had it coming. I mean, but I have to say, I don't condone violence in any way, and I don't think it's the right solution. But anyhow, so yeah, I'm not saying Deed's character is perfect, but he is such a sweet character, and honestly, I think Gary Cooper does an insanely good job at it. I did not expect it at all. I mean, I think it was my first movie with Gary Cooper, and like, I associated Cooper with like all these roles of like tough guy characters and like cowboys, and so to see him in such like a like sweet, naive kind of role, it was so it was a shock, but he did it so well, honestly. So, and Capra was really certain, like, he wanted Cooper for this role. He even waited for Cooper to finish his engagement at the time of the filming of the movie. And they had to postpone the filming of the movie because Cooper was busy. But Capra was so sure that he wanted Cooper to play the character of Deeds that he waited for him. And honestly, I understand why, because Cooper did an amazing job at it. Anyhow. And, like, it's hilarious because at one point, Cobb, who is this character that used to work for, well, he works for Cedar, but he eventually goes on the side of Deeds and he defends him and everything, and he gets close to Deeds. He says to Deeds, you know, you're a nice guy. if you just curb your homicidal tendencies, you'll be fine. And that's pretty much it. Because Deeds is a really swell guy, but he really needs to kind of tone down the, like, you know, punching people in the face and resorting to violence. But anyhow, and it's the thing about Deeds being violent throughout the movie is that it doesn't really, like, align with his character. Like, you don't associate Deeds with violence. And I feel like it's something that doesn't really work with Deeds' character. I don't know who decided that, you know, he should just randomly punch people sometimes. But, like, well, it's not random, I have to say. But, I mean, I feel like Deeds is smart enough to articulate himself in such a way that he could just, like, insult somebody so, so well without resorting to punching someone in the face. So, I don't know. I felt like sometimes it just didn't work that he punched people in the face. But anyhow, you know, I understand why he did. Because, honestly, some people totally had it coming. Although, honestly, don't punch people in the face. That's just... don't do it. Even though it's tempting, just don't do it. Okay, so we've seen humanity at its worst. We've seen humanity at its best in this movie. But most importantly, this movie shows humanity at its what it usually strives to be, right? So this in-between human, which is basically the majority of human beings. And this is the side of humans that is represented by Babe. Now, Babe at first is a pretty horrible person. She has no problem deceiving Deeds. And she lies to him and she uses him even after he's helped her and given her to eat and everything. She still doesn't mind writing mean articles about him and make him seem like a fool, right? But eventually Babe realizes that what she's doing is just plain wrong and he doesn't deserve it. And she feels guilty about it. So at the end, she wants to do everything in her power to rectify her mistake because she realized she's been making a terrible mistake in being so cruel to this guy because he's the last person to deserve it. And she, to rectify her mistake, she realizes that she has to tell him the truth. And she understands that by telling him the truth of what she's doing, there's a chance that she'll lose him, but she still wants to take that chance. And then it's safe to say that in this movie, Babe represents what most humans are and what they strive to be. And that's that we as humans may have the tendencies towards greed and a sort of selfishness and disregard for others. But ultimately, in the end, we do strive to do what is right, you know? And that's what Babe represents. She acknowledges her mistake and she tries to rectify her mistake. I feel like that's what the majority of humans are. We're flawed beings. We're flawed beings, but ultimately we strive to do good. And I think it's this whole way of approaching humanity at its worst, at its best, and the way it kind of is, I think it's particularly relevant in these times because we are currently living through some very strange times and we are currently living through a time of a human crisis. And in this time of crisis, humans are shown to be at their best and at their worst, right? So, okay, we are panicking. We are scared of what's happening right now currently. And I mean, honestly, it makes sense because it's troubling times. And sometimes this fear leads to us acting in a way that's greedy or selfish or not thinking about other people, right? But it's important to strive to become generous and grateful and to rectify any mistakes. Like Babe, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And so, yes, humanity has its best, it has its worst, but then it has the majority of people that are in the in-between. And that's really good place to be, really, because you make mistakes, we're flawed. As I said, we're flawed beings, so you obviously make mistakes, but you'll always have the chance to rectify them. And that's important, to rectify your mistakes. Anyhow, at this moment, we should strive to be as good as we can, because I think everybody needs a bit of collaboration and solidarity between ourselves as human beings in these moments. And anyhow, I'm aware that I haven't really gone into the themes of the movie or really into the motifs of the movie, but I really wanted to use this movie as a way to explore what it means to be human, and especially in times of crisis, which is what Deeds goes through and obviously we're going through right now. And so I hope you don't really mind, but I think it's important to keep in mind that it's good to strive to be the best we can in moments of crisis, especially, and to be patient and to be calm, especially. But anyhow, I'm sorry if this is not what you expected for this episode, but honestly, I think it's important to mention, and I think it's a really, really, really interesting and good movie, and I really wanted to talk about it, even if it wasn't as in-depth as I hoped it would be. But I hope you enjoyed it anyhow, and I wish you all the very best. Good luck with all the mayhem that's happening at the moment. Please wash your hands and be careful when you're around people. And just don't be too alarmed. This will pass as always. And anyhow, I hope you will tune in for the next episode. Don't know which movie it'll be, but I'm sure it'll be awesome. But for now, have a wonderful evening and please take care.